Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
What's up, everyone? It's the Love the Jam, the podcast. I'm Chapon with you as always, with Rob. How you doing, Rob?
I'm doing pretty well. You know, I'm tired. It's late on the East Coast. And that Clippers Jazz game was certainly not the most exciting.
The slap.
But the Clippers came out with a win, so I guess it's a good way to end the weekend.
Yeah, both teams shot under 40%, and it looked like a very kind of 90s type of game, 105-94. I don't feel like anybody particularly played well except for the centers, and they both played very well. Montrezl Harrell and Ivica Zubac. I mean, Kawhi Leonard obviously has his moments, and just having Kawhi Leonard is a massive luxury, and we'll go into great detail about him because that Spurs game was awesome. But what were your first thoughts on this game? It just ended like 5 minutes ago for us. What are your thoughts on that game, Rob?
You know, I didn't really think the Clippers would win it.
Yeah, me neither.
You know, the Jazz just looked better for a lot of the game. I mean, the Clippers certainly could not hit shots to save their life, but the Jazz, I thought, just seemed like the better rounded team. They were getting slightly easier shots on the whole. They just looked a little put together. I mean, certainly not dominant, but they looked like the better team through the first three quarters. And then the Clippers turned things around on the fourth, largely thanks to Kawhi Leonard. But yeah, it was a rough, rough game. I mean, the Clippers, it's one of the questions we're going to get a lot. We're going to get a lot on Twitter, and we can talk about this now, I guess. But, you know, how long is it until we start getting worried about the Clippers shooting? Because guys like Landry Shamet, Pat Beverly, those two in particular, to a lesser extent, you know, Patrick Patterson, I think, you know, maybe even throwing like Mo Harkless and Rodney McGruder in there, just not hitting shots. Really, it's Shamet and Beverly, though. And those guys not hitting threes has really held back the offense of the first unit, as well as hybrid bench lineups. And, you know, it's made offense, even though the Clippers have the second best offense in the NBA, it's made them extremely reliant on Lou Williams and Kawhi Leonard. Mm-hmm. And those guys have been up to the challenge, but it's not necessarily what we thought the Clippers offense would be coming into this season.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing about Shamet, and Shamet missed so many looks today, so many good looks. Shamet's going to shoot. That's the good thing about Sham. And he'll miss some shots, and I'm assuming he'll get it going. I know he has that wrist injury, and there's some concern there. It's not his shooting hand, but, you know, it doesn't make things easier when you place the ball in one hand, and it could be affecting his shot a little bit. He was shooting today. The thing about Bev, and you've mentioned this before too, is he's not taking some shots. He's not taking some layups. There were some times today where he had drives to the hoop and was completely open. And it would kick out. And I'm like, Pat, just shoot. I don't know if something's in his head right now about not shooting or passing the ball around, but he needs to take these shots. And I'm sure Doc and Kawhi and everybody are telling him to take them. He's just not taking them. And he just needs to take these shots. Even if you miss them, if you have great looks and you pass it off, you're not going to get a better shot, a better percentage. And he needs to just kind of get that in his head.
I think he will. I think the layups today was probably a function mostly of Gobert.
Sure.
And the Jazz's size in general.
True.
But, the three-point, I mean, he did take five today and he missed all of them, but he still passed up a couple. And, that just can't happen. You know, it's tough when you're missing and you're that cold, as he's been to start the season. But he was cold to start last season, too, and he still turned it around. I'm not all that worried about him. I'm definitely still not worried about Shamet. I understand he is, you know, a slightly injured wrist. That could be part of it. But he's still shooting. He still looks confident. His form is still absolutely perfect. I'm really not worried about Shamet shooting. I mean, those shots will come around. A lot of them were right online today. They just went in and out a little bit. It's made it tough because when the Clippers are hitting threes, that really opens up everything else, opens the paint up for Trez and Zhu. It, you know, forces teams to not be able to double or send, you know, at least soft traps and double teams at Kawhi.
Yep.
It's just, it's made things really congested the past few games, but I'm not, you know, too worried about that yet. You know, I think if it's a month from now, a month and a half from now, and Beverly and Shamet still can't shoot, you know, there might be some issues, but Paul George coming back will also help.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, what else do you think? This was a very interesting game in that I thought a lot of Clippers, I think, really played pretty well, or at least made their impact felt. I thought Zubats had a really good game when he got minutes. I thought Mo Harkless and Rodney Magruder played well. Mm-hmm. Jamichael Green has been fantastic all year.
Green with another great game against the Jazz. Yeah, I mentioned earlier that the team didn't particularly play great aside from the centers, but really we had a lot of good performances from our role players between Green, Magruder, Harkless. And, you know, Beverly still did little things. And Sham, I'm glad he was shooting and he still made some shots. And I'm still not that worried about him. But yeah, it was the thing I've noticed these last two games is, man, without Paul George, if Lou Williams isn't going, these are some ugly games. It's just a lot of Kawhi watching Kawhi, who is incredible. And that's, it's still amazing. And we're going to talk about Kawhi in a second. But if Lou isn't going, it's just give it to Kawhi and get out of the way. And that usually will win you games, but it makes things real slog. And, it makes the Clippers predictable in a sense, but people are still scrambling, and there were a ton of offensive boards. Trez had six today, and he just felt like he was gobbling up everything that he could on the offensive glass, which is impressive against a team like the Jazz with their length, especially with Gobert down there. But man, any concerns about Lou's last couple of games? I doubt it, right? His free throw shooting team?
No, the free throw shooting is very weird. But I mean, he's so historically good at free throw shooting. It's just a blip on the radar.
Yeah.
And the Jazz are a really tough team for him. And the Spurs are too, because they have big guards on the perimeter. They have lots of length to throw at him. And that's what he struggles with the most. So I'm really not worried about Lou at all. I mean, tonight, I thought, outside of a couple bad takes, I thought it wasn't one of the really bad Lou games where he's forcing up horrible shots and really kind of dominating possession. I thought he was moving the ball pretty well.
Yeah.
Even though he only had three assists, just because Clippers were just missing shots. I thought most of his takes were pretty good. They just weren't going in. So I thought he played on the whole pretty well, even though the numbers don't necessarily reflect that. I'm not really particularly worried. Really, I'm not that worried about any player on the Clippers. I think there are reasons to be worried about the overall Clippers, just in terms of how their offense and their defense haven't quite gelled, even though, again, their offense has been really good by the metrics. I don't think it's looked very good. But plenty of teams have won with not, you know, with unattractive and ugly offenses over the years. Stuff doesn't need to be pretty to be effective. But I think the defense tonight, they showed how good defensively they could be. I think the Jazz are a team that plays kind of into their strengths on that end, but still, I mean, I thought they did a really good job on Gobert.
Yeah.
Outside of that fourth quarter burst where Mitchell got going because he just kept bullying his way to the rim for free throws, I thought they did a pretty good job on him. They did great on Conley. Boyan and Ingles were relatively contained. So, you know, I think their defense has been spotty, but the pieces are there. I think on defense, it's really just effort to some extent. Tonight, the effort was all the way there on defense. They were really scrambling. They were recovering.
Spurs game too.
You know, drives. They were still letting up a lot of open threes. The Jazz missed a ton of open threes as well. But I thought it was much better tonight.
Yeah. They've been looking good these last couple of games. Mitchell is just such a physical guard. It's so hard to have a defender on him. It was nice to see Kawhi pick him up a little bit in that fourth quarter, because Kawhi is just such a Swiss Army knife. And I know Kawhi just often has these flashes of defense where you're just like, my gosh, this guy is so good. And he's not constantly on like he was maybe when he was a Spur, but you can't, it's kind of hard to do it both sides all the time in that kind of situation. But his instincts are so good. He's had so many just strips this season and breakaway dunks where you're just like, man, this guy like knows where the ball is going. He just, he has great defensive instincts, and it's going to be so much fun to see him and George at the same time locked in. Trez was great today. Lou was decent considering his shot was off. We talked a little bit about the role players. I think I'm very happy that Mike Conley didn't go Mike Conley on the Clippers and did more of Mike Conley.
Yeah, I think Zubac has been, on the whole, pretty good. I caught some guff during the Suns game for saying that Baines and Kaminsky outplayed him. People thought he'd played well in very limited minutes. I don't know about that, but I think on the whole, he's been quite good.
Baines is really good, by the way. People who don't think that Aaron Baines is legit. Yeah, it
really had less to do with Zubac and more to do with Baines, who's been fantastic this year and probably the biggest single reason for the Suns being good.
Right.
But, you know, I think his defense has been better. He's contesting a lot of shots at the rim. He's gotten tougher with bigger bodies like Gobert. I thought he bodied up Gobert very well today. And he's catching basketballs much better. He still has one or two drops every game where it's like, typical Zoo where he kind of lets a ball get through his fingers. But on the whole, the touch has been better. He has flashed at least a little bit of that jumper. He hit that nice bank shot today.
That was really nice.
Tim Duncan shot. Yeah, it was really nice. He sets good screens. I think on the whole, he's good. I mean, I don't think he's great. But considering, you know, expectations and how he played last year, I think he's taken a step forward.
Yep.
The Clippers have to be happy with his play considering expectations and what they're paying him.
Yeah, and he's been really good the whole season. I think very, very serviceable as a starting center. I think Trez has been statistically quite good, but I think he's picking up his intensity a bit, especially these last few games. So that's really good to see good center play. I think we should talk about Kawhi Leonard quite a bit. These last couple of games, and today he was 9 for 26. He wasn't particularly incredible, but he started slow, much like that Spurs game. But I really appreciated how good of a half-court player he is these last couple of games. That Spurs game, he was just a beast down the stretch in the fourth quarter. He was awesome. And today he hit some big shots too when we needed them. When Lou's not going, you know, it's really all – it's just a Kawhi show. And offensively, man, there's like no holes in his game. Like he's just he can do everything. He can pass really well. He gets wherever he wants. Nobody can guard him because he's either too fast or too big. Usually he's just too big and can push you around wherever he wants, and he can just get his shots like wherever he wants, whenever he wants. His 3-point shot's pretty good. Like his mid-range is money. He's great around the rim. He's just a very, very good offensive player. He's better than I thought he even is. He was when he came. He's fantastic. And I'm not going to get into the debate of who's the best player in the world, blah, blah, blah. Who cares? Like LeBron is playing out of his mind right now. Davis is playing great too. I don't need to turn this into that. But how impressed have you been by Kawhi Leonard?
I've been very impressed. I mean, I think the passing, I don't think anybody really could have predicted the passing.
No.
You know, I think he definitely improved with the Raptors last year. And as people have mentioned, I mean, he did play on the Spurs forever. And he played on the Spurs when they were doing their super ball-friendly, you know, quick-passing offense. You know, the glory years from 2013 to 2015. And that required quick decision-making and guys who could make plays. And he was a big part of those teams. So it's not like he was a non-passer playmaker, but he's never really led a team in ball handling and playmaking like that. And he has this year, and it's been fantastic. I mean, I just don't think anybody could have seen this passing coming from him. He's a good ball handler, but he's never really flashed that kind of vision or consistent playmaking ability. As for the rest of his offensive game, I mean, his ability to just create his own shot from the mid-range, it's not always the most efficient. But his ability to get to the line and to hit threes makes up for it. Mm-hmm. So it's just really, he's a really, really, really tough to stop. And his offensive game, just like you mentioned, it just doesn't really have any holes. He's not the most explosive finisher around the rim. You know, he does like drawing contact or settling for little, you know, turnaround jumpers rather than trying to go three guys at the rim. But that's a very minor drawback. He's fantastic. His defense when he locks in, like he did for a lot of today, has been really, really good as well. Maybe not as good as it was, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, but still extremely good. And yeah, I mean, he's looking like one of the best players in the NBA. Again, I don't know if you can say the best. There are plenty of other people with that, you know, who could argue for that title. I think, like you mentioned, LeBron, AD, Giannis, all guys who've played incredibly well. But he's certainly up there, and it's crazy to watch him in a Clippers uniform.
He's crazy good. Just that Spurs game, he was particularly good. That fourth quarter, he really turned it on, and the team needed him. And it's an insane luxury to have a guy that capable down the stretch. We haven't really had anybody quite like that. And, you know, we just got fresh off of Lob City, and just Paul and Griffin are just such different animals. Griffin, for one reason, just he's got tight down the stretch. And Paul, as good as he is, and he's cerebral very much in the way that Kawhi is. And in fact, offensively, when you think about it, plays sometimes a little bit similar too, with his mid-range dependence and being able to get to the spots, good three-point shooter. But you put a long guy on Chris, he just makes life difficult on them just because of his size. No, I can't think of anybody, you know, outside of maybe a totally locked-in LeBron, maybe Giannis, and that's not hard to say because Giannis is so slight of build, that can really slow down Kawhi, just you're afraid of, you know, and that's just, it's just something completely different. He is an extremely complete offensive player, and he's even better than advertised. He's been so good, and it's just a joy to watch him play. And it's going to be so much fun seeing how he plays with George, and he's really good. He's just like a fantastic basketball player.
I mean, he's going to be all-star. He's going to be all-NBA. He's probably going to be all defense. I don't know if he'll quite deserve it, but he'll probably make
it. He'll probably get it,
I don't think I'd be upset at it. I mean, I think when he really locks in, he's still really good on that end. Mm-hmm. And I think for the most part, he's been pretty engaged defensively. I don't think he's been in lockdown mode all year. Mm-hmm. He's fantastic. The last guy I kind of want to talk about before we kind of touch on maybe a few of the previous games and then take questions is Jamichael Green, who I think has been maybe like, just in terms of overall play, like the Clippers' third or fourth best player to start the year.
He's been great. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's not going to keep hitting threes at this rate. I mean, I think he's over 50% right now.
Yeah.
But he's rebounding. He's playing fantastic defense out on the perimeter and guarding bigger players. He's moving the ball well. And he's a threat from three. Like, he's not going to hit at this rate, but he's clearly a very good three-point shooter and takes them at a decently high volume. He took 5 in 24 minutes tonight.
Hit a huge one, too, down the stretch.
Yeah, and he's just super valuable playing both big men positions. And he's just really good. He's been even better this year than he was down the stretch last year. He was really good down the stretch last year.
Man, we traded Avery Bradley for this guy. And Garrett Temple, who's also a very good player, who we lost, and an incredible teammate. There was a great article on him recently as far as his how good of a teammate he is. And everybody already knew that he's a great locker room guy, Garrett Temple is. But Jamichael Green has really been just bonkers. He still does a lot of the dirty work too. His three-point shooting is super valuable, but he's just a great compliment off the bench. And I don't know if Doc just loves his feel with Trez and Lou, and that's why he's not starting him. That must be the reason. And honestly, if Pat Patterson plays like 10, 15 minutes, like that's okay. I think Patterson's been good enough to be a rotation player. Whether he merits starting is another thing. But if you're starting and you're playing for 10, 15 minutes, especially if we have Paul George, I'm assuming, do you think Pat Patterson will continue to start when George joins the lineup? It feels like it a little bit, right?
I mean, I don't
know. George won't start power forward. I don't think they want to.
No. I mean, I think there's a chance Harkless might start.
Sure.
Instead of Patterson. I mean, if Patterson starts, Paul George still starts. Landry Shamet goes to the bench, and then you have Lou, Shamet, Harkless, Green, Trez, which leaves Magruder out of the rotation.
Right.
And I just don't think Patterson should be in the rotation over Magruder.
Sure, sure.
If you're trying to think just in terms of rotations and fit, maybe, but Magruder is just a much better player than Pat Patterson. I don't think Patterson will start when George comes back. I hope he doesn't really. Like, again, like on the whole, I think he's been fine.
Yeah.
You know, considering what the Clippers pay for him, that they got him at the end of the summer on a minimum deal, you know, off waivers, guy coming in with extremely low expectations after a really bad season in OKC. I think he's been fine. And like you said, as 10 to 15 minutes a game on, you know, even as a token starter, he's fine. But when the Clippers bring Paul George back and they'll have, you know, a full 10-man rotation outside of him, I just don't think he should be in over any of the other guys. But he's really held down the fort. I do think even tonight when he played like 12 minutes, I think even that was probably like a few too many.
Sure.
Because he really was not doing very much. And like Jamichael Green has been really good. Mo Harkless has been really good. But
yeah, and when there's not really a post presence, it's kind of tough to justify having him in there much. Yeah. But, you know, I think he's done well for what has probably been asked for him, of him. He hasn't shot particularly well, I think, at all, since the aside from the Warriors game.
No, he has not. Which is tough, because, I mean, that's really his major contribution outside of bodying bigger players.
Yeah.
So, again, you know, we'll see about that. But apparently Paul George's return is not that far off. He was playing 3-on-3 yesterday. 5-on-5 still needs to happen. So, I mean, I'd say at least a couple weeks, maybe.
Exciting. Like maybe
5 or 6 games.
Sure. It's pretty crazy.
But, I mean, he can't be too far away if he's doing 3-on-3. And as soon as he comes back, I think that'll be the last we see of significant amounts of Patrick Patterson.
Yeah.
We'll see, though. It's possible Doc
sticks with him. Yeah, I'm very curious to see if Doc will stick to Pat Patterson. He said nothing but good things about Pat, and I'm curious. It feels like there's always been one guy that Doc has, like, relented with, and we're just like, why, Doc? So I'm curious to see what's going to happen.
I think it just makes too much sense to move in Harkless and play Harkless, Kawhi, PG, which is just a nightmare defensively. Gosh.
So
and then you have Lou, Shamit, Magruder, which is kind of undersized for guards. But I mean, Shamit is not small, and Magruder plays bigger than his height. Mm-hmm. So I think you could probably get away with that. And then Green, Trez, you know, and if you need a move. But I mean, also the thing is Kawhi and PG are going to be staggering a lot. So even if Magruder is the 10th man in that rotation, I don't know how many minutes he's really going to be getting. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy who might get squeezed at this point, as weird as this might be to say, is Shamit. Even if I think his shot will eventually come around and has a lot of value, you know, if the Clippers are trying to go for this defense-first mentality, and if he gets moved to the bench when Paul George comes back, you know, I could see him getting, you know, under 20 minutes a game.
But sure. I could see him, like, dipping in minutes, but he's definitely going to be a rotation guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He just might lose some minutes. I don't know. I think Shamit will get out of this funk a bit. We'll see. It's shoot or shoot, and I think he's going to get out of this. All of his shots have looked online, and I think the Clippers were up 36-24, and Shamit must have had like 4 or 5 looks to close the first half, or it's just like, dang. And he even had this one little turnaround where he had a layup at the rim, and then he turned around and had like a 4-footer. It's just, I'm just waiting for him to explode. So his shooting is so invaluable, and he's actually held himself pretty decently defensively. You know, whenever he was on Conley a lot of the game, and of course when he was on Mitchell, he would get bullied, but anybody will if you're that slight of build against Mitchell. He's done a good job kind of like establishing a niche on smaller players that move around a lot. As long as they're not bigger than Sham, I feel like he's done a pretty good job. And that's a big development compared to last year, where I felt like he was such a massive liability defensively. So, yeah, I'm just waiting for his shot to come around.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not too worried again about Shamet. I just think if he's moved to the bench, I could see his minutes dipping. Sure. Even if he's still playing consistently and playing well, I think his minutes just will naturally go down a little bit.
So, I mean, I think he is the natural person to get benched, right? If we're thinking Beverly, George, Kawhi, Harkless, and Zoo, tentatively.
Yeah.
Ideally.
Yeah, I think that's the right move. I think Green does fit in so well with Lou and Trez. And I just think Harkless, PG, Kawhi is such a terrifying unit to have to start games.
Yeah.
I mean, that team, that unit could go up, you know, 16-4 through the first 6 minutes on a semi-regular basis, I think.
Yeah. Harkless looks very good this year. Continues to look very good.
Yeah,
he's just a very, very useful player, and he would be great.
I mean, I think the weird thing is kind of like today was almost a microcosm of it, where I think individually, I think most of the Clippers, really outside of Shamet and maybe Beverly, both offensively, have played well this year. It's just the whole has not quite been the sum of the parts yet.
Right.
You know, I think Harkless has played well. I think Magruder, he's only played a few minutes and not like too many minutes. Offensively has really not contributed anything, but I think has looked very sharp defensively. Zoo has played really well. Trez has played very well offensively. Defensively, again, you know, hit or miss. Lou, I think, has mostly been really good. Kawhi's been fantastic. Harkless and Green have been fantastic. I just think that they just need to piece it all together.
Right.
And, I mean, I'm not really concerned at all. I think there are kinks, there are things to work out, but they're 5-2 through a very difficult schedule to start the season.
Yep.
They're healthy, and there are no reasons to not be encouraged so far.
Yeah, we might as well touch on the Spurs game a little bit. So I think Kawhi Leonard, this was like his big imprint game, where this is the kind of game that you don't win without a superstar. Your entire team is just in a slog, not too different than today. And Trez, of course, then also was the only real offensive threat because Lou was off, but Kawhi was great. That Spurs team, they lost to the Lakers today. That Spurs team is kind of underrated, I feel like.
They're good.
They have like nothing but good players. If they had Aaron Baines still, they would be like upper echelon out west. But really, they just have nothing but quality guys. LaMarcus and DeRozan are all-star caliber players. Their guard rotation is sick between Murray and White and Forbes. They still have Rudy Gay. Patty Mills, of course, is still there. Bellinelli, who I don't think is playing well, but I'm always afraid of because he had that great game against the Clippers in San Antonio that they nearly won. I think it was game 6. And he was on fire and almost brought them back. But Bellinelli still can shoot. They just don't have any centers on that team. But aside from that, they are very good, and they lost to the Lakers today. But that was a hard game against the Spurs. Any thoughts about that game, Rob? Surprisingly, LaMarcus Aldridge was nowhere to be found.
Yeah, that was the most shocking thing about that game.
Yeah.
Actually, I only saw the first half of that game.
Oh boy, you got to watch that game, Rob.
I did see most of the second half kind of piecemeal.
Sure.
But I only saw the first half live. And I don't have a ton. I mean, I think that was another classic Kawhi game.
Yeah.
Where he really just took over, and the Spurs just don't have anybody who can guard him.
Yeah.
White and Murray in particular, fantastic defenders. And Murray is one of the best defenders in the NBA
Murray
right now.
Murray is really good. That guy.
Yeah, but he's just really too small to guard Kawhi.
Yes, of course, yeah.
And then DeRozan, not a good defender. Rudy Gay, good, but on bigger players. I mean, Kawhi kind of just cooked them. And that's kind of the story. And Montrezl feasts against teams like that where they're just not quick enough to handle him. He was everywhere. He was everywhere today, too, against the Jazz.
He was. He
had so many offensive rebounds were just came out of nowhere to snag them over like Rudy Gobert, which is really difficult.
Yep, impressive.
But I mean, the Spurs were impressive. They really hung in there. But from what I've seen, I mean, Kawhi just kind of dealt a knockout punch. And
yep, pretty
that's
much
what having a superstar does for you. though Lou Williams did that last year against the Spurs. He really closed them out hard himself.
Yeah.
And having two guys like that, of course, is great. When you add Paul George, you have three who can kind of close out an opponent single-handedly, which is pretty crazy. But yeah, I mean, the Spurs was a good win, you know, coming off a back-to-back, coming back from Utah from a very tough loss and turning around and beating, you know, a very good Spurs team, even at home. I think it was impressive. The Clippers have had impressive wins this year, even when they haven't played well. And I think that's a sign of a really good team.
Yep. And they really haven't played well these last couple of games. So that's really impressive. The other Jazz game, I don't know if it's really worth talking too much. We didn't have Kawhi. We were kind of looking off most of the game, but Lou made a nice run to kind of get us close, and he was keeping us close in the first half. Zubat looked good in that game too. And then the third quarter happened, and Mike Conley just blew us out of the water.
Yeah, I mean, games without Kawhi and PG this year could be really tough. I mean, you could say, well, the Clippers were able to win 48 last year, but they had Danilo Gallinari, who was, you know, one of the 25 to 30 best players in the NBA. And they have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who currently looks like an all-star in OKC.
Shai looks so good.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't that good last year, so not to get, you know, but he was still good. And the Clippers don't have either of them, so it's not quite the same this year without PG and Kawhi. You know, they do have other players this year that they didn't have last year, but yeah, I mean, in Utah without Paul George and Kawhi, it's like, if they'd won that, that would have been incredible. And a loss is a loss. Mike Conley has not been very good this year, though.
No, he has not. Just that game, really.
Yeah, really, that's it. And that's troubling for the Jazz because they don't really have a ton of depth. I mean, Ed Davis was out today, and Ed Davis is very good.
Very good.
But outside of Ingles, their bench is pretty lackluster. I mean, Moutier has already gotten benched, which you could see coming a mile away, but still. Jeff Green is not good.
Jeff Green.
And
Jeff Green hit a fadeaway in this game, but it made me so upset. It still makes me upset.
Yeah, so bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, even with just Ed Davis out, they were looking thin. And I mean, I think they're a team that probably will make a move at some point. I'm not sure what that is. I mean, at some point, I think they're also going to get Dante Exum back. I just...
Oh, sure. But that guy, he's just getting injured all the time.
Yeah, he'll just get injured again. I still don't even know how good he is.
Feels like he has a good motor defensively, at the very least.
He's good defensively. I mean, I think the Jazz overrate him defensively, but he's good. But yeah, I mean, he's always injured, and he's really bad offensively.
It's a shame. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that game in Utah, I don't have too much to say about it. That was really tough.
And the Charlotte game wasn't that much fun either, really. Sham at least broke out a bit in the first quarter.
Yeah, that was fun. It was really nice to see that. Really, really nice to see that. Charlotte is kind of fun to watch, shockingly.
Graham is a nice player. He seems like almost very similar to Rozier in many ways, but I don't know how legit his jumper is. He's shooting the lights out, like from 3-point range. I don't know if he still is, but he looked good. He was. They have some plucky players, and they were plucky.
I don't have too much to say about that game either. You know, generally, we don't talk too much about games that are almost a week ago.
Yeah.
You know? And, I mean, it would have been bad if the Clippers had lost that. That one, it seems, has been kind of frisky early, but they're still really, really bad.
Yeah. The plays when Biombo was bullying our second unit.
Tough.
That was tough to watch. Yeah.
I mean, Bismack Biombo, you know, great guy.
That's never a good opening statement for an NBA player.
Huge props to him for
That series against the Cavs. That was a great
for that very... series against the Cavs like 5 years ago and securing
the bag.
A huge bag. Like honestly, that's fantastic. But him like dominating a quarter against the Clippers in 2019 was very weird.
Yeah,
that was... might be the single weirdest thing that's happened this year.
That was rough.
The Clippers, anyway. I mean, I think the Clippers overall have played pretty well. You know, They haven't been perfect, but they're 5-1 in games in which Kawhi Leonard has played against a really tough schedule. That tough schedule continues this week, but yeah, they do have 2 days off until they play the Bucks on Wednesday. And really, they only have 2 games this week. It's just it is a back-to-back, though, and it's a tough one, both at home, but Bucks and Trailblazers. And then next week you get Raptors, Rockets, and then a bit of a reprieve with Pelicans and Hawks. But I mean, Bucks, Blazers, Raptors, Rockets is a gauntlet, even if three or four of those are at home.
Yeah, for sure.
But before we get into, do you have anything else about players or games or anything?
Not particularly. That Charlotte game just kind of happened and it was fun, but don't really have much to say about it, honestly. Yep.
Yeah. What do you think about those games next week? I mean, I think
this is a tough schedule. Let me see. So
it's really just two. It's Bucks and Blazers at home back to back.
Yeah.
I wonder if Kawhi will rest one of those games and which one it will be.
I mean, I kind of hope not, just so he has 2 games off. We'll see. Like, that was a 3 games in 4 nights type of thing. So I'm curious to see what they're going to do.
Clippers have 3 days off after that Trailblazers game.
Yeah.
They'll have Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I really hope he plays both.
Me too. I hope so too. We'll see, because they've been making a lot of – Kawhi has even mentioned that he's not going to get load managed this year. So we'll see if he just plays both. I mean, that's tough. The Bucks, you know, I'd like to say that we're going to go 2-0, but I probably would say 1-1. And I'm not even completely certain which one, because the Blazers, I'm looking at their schedule right now. So the Blazers are playing at Golden State tomorrow, and then they're off until the game against us. So they're going to be very fresh for that game. That might be tough. It's tough. I think the Bucks game will not be easy either.
No.
So Giannis is the best
defender in the league on Kawhi, probably.
Yep. So those are two tough games.
Yeah, I mean, the Clippers should win at least one of them.
Yeah.
But this is where, like, if they lose both, I don't think it's the end of the world. I mean, I don't think it would be great to be 5-4, but I mean, I think either loss is understandable in a vacuum.
Yeah.
But I think they win at least one. I'd say they go 1-1 next week.
Yeah, I think 1-1. I think if they win that Bucks game, then I'm just like with house money at that point. And the Blazers have not looked particularly impressive this year. So that's a good thing. The Blazers are worse this year. I mean, they lost Harkless. They lost Aminu. They don't have Nurkic for a good chunk of the season. I guess they have Bazemore now, and they have Hood all through the year, and they've both looked – Hood's legit, and Bazemore is a nice bench player. But those guys are – you know, guards are just – they can tend to just go cold, and we have a lot of good swing defenders. So the Blazers, I feel like they don't necessarily match up great against us or anything like that. I just feel like they're going to be fresh and we might be tired. It's going to be tough. At least we don't travel. So,
I think 1-1 is a perfectly fine goal. Do you have anything else before we get to Twitter questions?
No, I think we can hit it. Yeah.
Okay, great. So I think the first two are kind of similar. First one's from John Paul Manahan, how can you properly balance our bigs' minutes? Second one from Niels Pineda on, not a specific question, but interested on your thoughts on the center rotation. Zubats is playing great, and I think Trez's best use is spark. Playing him from the middle of the second to close seems not ideal and pushes you out. This is something that's come up a lot on Twitter and on Clips Nation, which is that Zub probably needs more minutes, but if you give him more minutes, then you're taking away from Trez and or Jamichael Green.
Yeah.
And both those guys have played really well too. I mean, ultimately, I think in a vacuum, you know, Trez and Green are better than Zubats, but I think it really depends on the night. You know, Zoo was playing really good today, but Trez was super effective getting those offensive rebounds. Jamichael was incredible. and there just wasn't really room to play him. So I think on nights when his size is really needed, like against maybe Joel Embiid or Nikola Jokic, sometimes against Gobert even, you know, sure playing big minutes, but I think there are just going to be too many nights where it's impossible to take Trez and or Green off the court.
Yeah. I mean, that's more or less it. It's tough because I've been impressed with Zubat. I think he's played really well. I think he showed, like you mentioned, he's made a leap forward and is very serviceable. But, I mean, it's Trez has been awesome this year. And not just that, he's also so compatible with Lou, and it makes our offense so much more dynamic having both of them on the floor, and just has a great nose for the ball. It's a good problem to have. Yeah. Ultimately, like, but I understand people wanting Zubat to be out there more, but there's just not a way to get him out there more right now. Yeah,
I think it's tough. There are games where I certainly wish he was playing more, but I just think on a game-to-game basis, it's pretty tough.
Yeah.
Next question from Ben Thrifty. Are you worried about Pat Bev after a rough offensive start? A little bit. Not a ton. He did start off really slow last year too, but he's 1 year older. He's already not very explosive scoring at the rim. He still is pretty quick, but he really just needs that three-point shot to fall.
Yeah, that's so pretty much it. He's had some nice moves, some nice floaters.
Yeah.
He still has all of his pet moves that he's good with, and he's got to the lane pretty effectively. It's just a matter of his shot, and I think that'll hopefully come with time. He's been a traditionally good three-point shooter for years, so.
Yeah, I'm not that worried. If anything, I actually think his defense has kind of fallen off this year. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's been that effective defensively. I think his presence and communication and energy is helpful, but I don't necessarily think he's been that useful one-on-one. I mean, that's never really been his strong suit anyway. Mm-hmm. But I think he has fallen off defensively. I'm probably a little more worried about his defense than offense. I think he'll bounce back offensively.
Yeah, I think people overrate Pat Beverly's defense. I love Pat. I think he's the heart of this team, and you're right. You know, just his presence out there, I think, makes a huge difference for our team defense. But defensively, even last year, like, he gets too physical, gets under people too much. He's always fouling. It really depends on just the sense of the game, whether or not he'll get in foul problems or not. And he can be good for, like, when he plays a younger player, he's just crazy intimidating and he'll probably lock them up. But if you have, like, a smart player out there, they can often find their ways around Pat Beverly. And, you know, that's not to say that he's not bad by any means, but he's good, but not great, I don't think, defensively, individually.
Yeah. Agreed. Next question from at Andrew from 5-7. Who do you guys think should start at the four? Patrick Patterson, Green, Harkless. Should Kawhi start at the four after PG returns with him at the three and Shaman at the two? Thanks. I think the Clippers going small is interesting, and I would like to see them do that, but I don't think it's super sustainable long term.
Yeah.
With Kawhi, Shaman, and PG. I think we discussed this. I think Harkless should probably start. I think Green actually might be the best option, but I do think keeping him with Lou and Trez off the bench makes sense.
I agree with that. Yep.
Okay. Next question from Whammy Giveaway. When Leonard came to the Clippers, he forced parity throughout the league, but by doing this, everyone is even, making games like Jazz 1 a norm. How close will the wins be between teams? Could league parity end up being an advantage or disadvantage for the Clips? I mean, I think there are going to be a lot of good close games this year because I think a lot of teams are really good. But I mean, I think parity for a contender is probably a good thing because it means there's no super team just lurking. I mean, I think the Clippers are good enough that even if there was one, they wouldn't be that worried about them. But having no Warriors type threat, that's big. You know, even if it means there are four other really good teams, not having one incredible team is very nice, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really It's nice to not have a super team that's deflating to everybody else in the league.
That's a
nice thing. Parity in general is cool. Like, I'm happy that the league has parity this year. I'm glad that Kawhi didn't go, you know, to the Lakers. It would have been over from the beginning, and that would have sucked. And if it's good for the Clippers that parity exists, you know, it depends. If we were the juggernaut, then maybe it wouldn't be good for the Clippers. It'd be nice to be the super team that's just destroying everybody. But I mean, I think the league has already showed a bit so far that, you know, there are multiple elite teams right now, and the Clippers are one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Next question from at Lawler's Law. What's one thing the team needs most right now? They just need to hit the outside shots.
Yeah.
Everything would look better.
Yeah, I think defensively they look like they're coming around, which is promising.
Yeah. Next question from my other podcast co-host, Lewis Keen at This Lewis. Should they bring Paul George off the bench?
Oh, man.
You know what? It would be interesting if to start they worked him in off the bench. I feel if anybody would do that, Doc Rivers would do it.
Right.
No. I think he's going to start and play. I don't know if he's going to play 30 minutes right away. He might be kind of weaned into it.
Yeah.
It won't surprise me if he got, like, you know, 25-ish the first few games. But I think he's going to start right away at shooting guard or small forward. I mean, I think he and Kawhi could be pretty interchangeable. And I'm sure there will be some management in terms of him playing games. Like, I don't think he's going to be playing many back-to-backs. I don't think he's going to be playing a lot over, like, 35 minutes either. I think the Clippers are going to be very careful with both him and Kawhi. And I think it's going to take time for them to adjust to one another and for George to adjust to the team in general. So I wouldn't expect the Clippers to all of a sudden start, you know, sending off 10-game win streaks as soon as PG comes back. But the fact that they're adding him to a team that's already this good is pretty scary for the rest of the NBA.
So how do we think these minutes are going to get staggered? It looks like Lou and Trez come in, Kawhi comes out, and then Kawhi comes back in the beginning of the second quarter and run and either, you know, goes a distance in the fourth or gets pulled occasionally in the second. And that feels like the kind of trend. And Lou and Trez will come in, and they kind of run things and they get their minutes. With Paul George, how do things change? Like, how do you think those two get staggered, especially like around Lou and Trez? Like, how is that going to work?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think Kawhi might still get pulled first.
Okay.
Because I think that's worked well so far. And I think he's probably a better pure shot creator than Paul George is. So I think it makes sense to stagger him more with Lou. But we'll see. I mean, I don't know if Kawhi and PG are going to get staggered as much as people think. I think Doc might do it a little bit, but I think he might honestly try to concentrate their minutes together just to kind of overwhelm teams. You know, they are at least somewhat duplicative.
But
it's impossible to say until we see it, but I actually don't think they're going to get staggered that much.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. And anything else?
No, I think that's probably it for me. Clippers had a good week. They went 3-1. And, you know, I don't think Paul George will come back next week. But maybe I think next week when we do this pod at around this time, I think we'll probably have at the very least an update or a possible return date. So, I mean, I think it's not that far away. And that's really, really exciting.
Yeah, next week, by the time we do this pod, it'll be the 10th game coming up. So we'll be pretty close to that 10-game mark. And I think that'll do it for this episode of Law of the Jam, the podcast. As always, leave us a nice review on whatever you listen to us to. And, of course, go Clippers!